نستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، فأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، so inshallah we go over to the fourth part of this sequence of discussion of the explanation of hadith al-zulm or ya ibadi inna haramtu al-zulm ala nafsi. The explanation is by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. So after covering the first sentence of the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah says, O my servant, as I have made zulm prohibited on myself. And we said that this statement encompasses all of our belief in in Allah Azza wa Jal in regard to His sifat, attributes, and af'al, actions. All what our belief should be in this regard. And His af'al include the belief in Al-Qadr. After this, we come to the next part of the hadith, which is, وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. And I made it prohibited among you, so do not do injustice towards each other. So this is the second part of the hadith, and Ibn Taymiyyah Allah says, this second part, this second statement, encompasses all of the religion. All of the religion in terms of practical religion, that is. Because everything that Allah prohibited goes back to injustice. So if he made zulm prohibited among us, that means that he prohibited for us everything that is haram and wrong. And وَكُلُّ مَا أَمَرَ بِهِ رَاجِعٌ إِلَى الْعَدْلِ. Everything that Allah commanded us to do goes back to justice. So also comes under the prohibition of injustice. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ وَرُسُلَهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. Which means we have sent our messengers with the clear guidance. وَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. And we sent down with them the book and the balance or the scale, which means the distinction that distinguishes, the criterion that distinguishes between what's right and what's wrong. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that the people will establish justice and fairness. وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ, and we sent down also hadid, iron, in which there is great power and benefits for the people, and so that Allah would know those who support Him, support His religion, that is, وَرُسُلَهُ, and His messengers, who support them, His messengers, بِالْغَيْبِ, in غَيْبِ, which means without seeing Him or seeing some of His promises with their own eyes, but believing in them, as He says in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, for example. This is in Surah Hadid. But the ayah about the belief in al-ghayb. Alif lam mim, ذَلْكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the believers as being those who believe in al-ghayb. هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, guidance to those who have taqwa. And who are they? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. The first quality of them is that they believe in ghayb. They believe in Allah and in His promises without seeing any of that. Without seeing that with their eyes or perceiving that with their human senses. فَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ أَرْسَى الرُّسُلَ وَأَنزَى كِتَابَ الْمِيزَانِ لَأَجِّ قِيَامِ النَّاسِ بِالْقِسْطِ. So he indicated, subhanahu, that he sent the messengers and revealed the books and the mizan, the scale, so that people would establish justice. And he also sent down the iron, sent down iron, and sent down, I mean, the scholars have different views about this. Some say that it's because it comes from the mountains. And, you know, it is still everything that Allah created came from above, from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. and He is above everything. So there is no problem in understanding that. It did not come down like rain comes from the sky, it rains and it falls on earth. Others say that this has to do with some of the, what you call the meteors?
Meteors.
Meteors and other objects that fell on earth and carried the iron with them in ancient times, many billion years ago. And that is how iron came on earth. So whatever is the case, you know, we know that it all can make sense, and iron was sent down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-hadid, the iron with which the truth is supported by force, that is. Force is needed to support the truth. So فَالْكِتَابُ يَهْدِي وَالسَّيْفُ يَنْصُرُ. The book guides and the sword supports. وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ هَدِيًا وَنَصِيرًا. And your Lord is sufficient as a guider, as a guide and supporter. Salaam alaikum. And that is why the people need both the book, those who know the book, Ahlul Kitab. It doesn't mean here Ahlul Kitab, that is the Christians or the Jews. It means the people who have the knowledge of the book, which means the people of knowledge of the deen. And they need Ahlul Hadid, the people who have the power, the ability to use Al-Hadid, who have the power, the soldiers, that is. They need the scholars and the soldiers, in other words. Ahlul Kitab and Ahlul Hadid. As one of the Salaf said, صُنْفَانِ إِذَا صَلُحُوا صَلُحَ النَّاسِ الْأُمَرَاءُ وَالْعُلَمَاءُ. There are two classes of people. If they are good, everyone else is good. And they are al-umara, the leaders, wal-ulama, the scholars. The umara are the ones who enforce the truth, they are supposed to do that, even though we know that in our times they do exactly the opposite. And, oops, now I said something that would classify me as one of the misguided groups or something. And I spoke about the umara, you know. And the other one is al-ulama, the scholars, or the scholars of the religion. And they say in regard to Allah saying, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَإِلَى الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah and obey the messenger and those who are of authority among you. They say, they have statements, the salaf, meaning the ulama of the sahaba and tabi'een after them, and the ulama of tafsir, they say things in explanation of this, indicating that it applies to both the ulama and the umara, the ulama of the deen as well as the rulers of the believers. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah indicated that both the ayah applies to both types of people, and that both of them need to be obeyed in whatever he does that involves obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meant is that all of that is for people to establish justice on earth. يَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. The teaching, the instructions of the Kitab and the Mizan, or the force, the power, the material power, are all meant so that, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that the people will establish justice. So that's the purpose of that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He was talking in Surah An'am about the disbelievers who prohibited things without His permission and permitted other things without His permission, the disbeliever, the mushrikeen, he finally responded by saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he related what they do, he said, قُلْ أَمَرَ رَبِّي بِالْقِسْطِ. Say, my Lord enjoined or commands people to, commands with qists, with justice, that people be just. وَأَقِيمُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ وَدَوِيرٍ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ كَمَا لَكُمْ تَعُودُونَ. Which means, say, my Lord has enjoined justice, and that you turn your faces or to each place of prayer, and وَدَوِيرٌ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, and to invoke Him with sincere or with sincerity in religion. And Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا مَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. This ayah from Surah Al-Nahl covers from Surah Al-A'raf. This surah, this ayah covers all different kinds of prohibited things. And he says, Ibn Taymiyyah, that he has expounded on this in some other one of his writings. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what means, say, indeed, my Lord only prohibited al-fawahish, the great sins, whether they are apparent or hidden, wal-ithma, and sinning. Some people say fawahish are the major sins, and some people say they are the fawahish, which are the offensive deeds. Some say that they mean fawahish, the deeds that have to do with the tongue, that they are the offensive statements by the tongue, and so on, but it covers all of that. Well, ithma, and sinning. Well, barya, transgressing. Sinning could be sinning for oneself or by the person himself, doing wrong, you know, to him, towards himself. Whereas barya is transgressing against others, harming other people. Barya bighayr al-haq, without right. وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. As he says, I mean, there's a good explanation by Ibn Taymiyyah of this ayah. I'm sure you can find it in Al-Fatawi. وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. And to join with Allah that which He did not permit you to do. وَأَنْ تَقُولَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And to say about Allah Azza wa Jal things that you do not know. So he says this ayah encompasses all sorts of prohibited things, as we have explained some elsewhere. And the other ayah, the previous ayah, covers all the, or encompasses all the obligations. The first one, Allah Rabbi bil Qist, my Lord has commanded or enjoined justice. And these two ayat are very close to each other in Surah Al-A'raf. The first one is number 29, the second one is number 33. He says, Allah's Lord, Allah's commands to do justice, Amar Rabbi bil Qist, that includes Tawheed, which is to worship Allah alone without any partners, which is the basis of the deen, and against that is sinning, the sin that cannot be forgiven, which is shirk. And this is a major act of atrocity or injustice. The religion of the all the prophets was to call to worshipping Allah alone without taking partners or joining partners with Him, so that the essence of all of their messages and in that regard all of their religions and all of their missions were one and the same, as Allah Azza wa Jal says about Nuh alayhi salam, وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I have been commanded to be of the Muslims. And about Ibrahim, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. This says that Ibrahim said that he became a Muslim or submitted to the Lord of the people, and similarly were his children and grandchildren and the great grandchildren, those of Yaqub, the children of Yaqub alayhim as-salam. And Musa said, يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ أَمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. My people, if you believe in Allah, then rely in Him if you are Muslims. And so on. So he's saying that this is the same deen that was carried by all the prophets and their followers through the times. And this tawheed is the basis or the foundation of the deen. And it is the focal point or the origin for al-adl, for justice. The origin for justice is Tawheed. And against it is Shirk. And Shirk is the worst form of injustice, as is reported in the two Sahihs, in Bukhari and Muslim, from Abdullah al-Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that when the ayah was revealed, that الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, those who believe and do not associate the imam with zulm, with injustice, شق ذلك على أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This became hard for the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, felt that that was too hard for them. Why is that? Because they thought that even though they find in themselves that they are believers, but none of them but commits some sins and some injustice. So it is impossible for them to be clear of that. So how can they get the glad tidings that are mentioned in that ayah if they still commit them? So they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّنَا لَمْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ, who among us does not do injustice towards himself? He said, أَلَمْ تَسْمَعَ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِ الْعَبْدِ الصَّالِحِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. He said, didn't you hear what the righteous servant said, that dhulm is a great atrocity or a great act of injustice? Who is the righteous servant who said that?
Luqman
alayhi salam. He was telling his child, his son, قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Oh my son, do not join partners with Allah. Indeed, shirk is a great act of injustice. And also in the two sahihs in Bukhari Muslim, that is from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, O Allah's Messenger, what is the greatest of sins? He said, أَن تَجْعَلَ لِلَّهِ نِدًّا وَقَدْ خَلَقَكَ, to join partners with Allah Azza wa Jal when He is the one who created you. He said, then what? He said that you would kill your child fearing that he would eat with you. He said, what next? He said,
that I need this hadith for the book that I'm writing, which has a chapter on birth control. So,
if you would kill your child fearing that he would eat with you, and he said, "Thumma ay," what next? He said, "An tuzani bihalilati jarik," that you would commit zina with the wife of your neighbor. And Allah Azza wa Jal, Ibn Mas'ud is saying, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed what confirms that by saying, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. The ayah from Surah Al-Isra, which carries about the same meaning. A shirk is the greatest form of injustice or dhulm. And وَمُسَمَّ الشِّرْكُ جَلِيلُهُ وَدَقِيقُهُ. All of it is injustice. Shirk can be major or can be minor, can be very tiny, almost invisible, but it is there. As Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الشرك في هذه الأمة أخفى من دليل النمل. Shirk in this ummah is more secret or more hidden than the footsteps or the walking of ants. That is how hard to see or hear or find is shirk in this ummah. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said this, or said something to the same effect, probably this one specifically. The Sahaba asked him for advice, what should they do if sometimes shirk is so hidden? And he advised them by saying, by teaching them the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'an a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. O Allah, I seek protection, new protection, from that I would join with you anything that I knowingly do it. That I would knowingly join anything with you in worship. And I ask you forgiveness for anything that I do not know about or I am not aware of. So that's an important dua that we should learn, and that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught to his companions.
Where is that?
You can find it in excellent. In Ibn Sunni's Amal Yawm al-Layla, if you have access to that book. It's a small book that is published with the commentary of Ali al-Halabi in Arabic, or the Tashih, Takhrij of Ali al-Halabi. And I don't think it's translated in English, but you will find it in the books of Hadith, maybe in Sahih al-Kalam al-Tayyib, the books of Azkar. You may find it there, Allahu A'lam. Shaddad bin Aus radiallahu anhu, Shaddad bin Aus Ansari said, Ya baqai al-Arab, Ya baqai al-Arab, innama akhafu alaykum al-riya' wa al-shahwat al-khafiyya. All remains of Arabs, I fear for you Al-Ariya, show off, wa shawat al-khafiyya, and the hidden desires, the secret desires. Abu Dawood al-Sajastani, Abu Dawood, the one who compiled Sahih, or Sunan Abu Dawood, he said, al-shawat al-khafiyya, hubb al-riyasa. The secret or hidden desire is the love for power or position. And Ibn Taymiyyah says, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ حُبَّ الرِّيَاسَةِ هُوَ أَصْلُ الْبَغْيِ وَالظُّلْمِ. That's because loving position and power is the basis for all sorts of transgression and oppression. كَمَا أَنَّ الرِّيَاءَ هُوَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الشِّرْكِ أَوْ مَبْدَأَ الشِّرْكِ هُوَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الشِّرْكِ أَوْ مَبْدَأُ الشِّرْكِ. Similar to that, riya or show off is of the type of shirk, or is the basis, the start for shirk. Why is that so? Because when a person acts, does something good just to show it to people, to show off to the people, that means that he's doing that act not for Allah Azza wa Jal, not sincere before Him, but for the pleasure of the people. And that is why it is considered a shirk or a minor kind of shirk, but it could eventually evolve to becoming a major shirk, if that is all why a person acts, just to show people, and he does not mean any of what he does. Then he becomes like a hypocrite. He is doing things to show people, but in his heart, he doesn't believe in any of it. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَ شِيَعًا يَصَدْرِ فَتَعِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. About Fir'aun, Pharaoh, he, عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ, he was arrogant or tyrant over the earth, and he made his people parties, oppressing a group of them and killing their children and leaving, allowing their women to stay alive. He indeed was of the wrongdoers. Until he said at the end of the surah, تلك الدار الآخرة, this is in Surah Al-Qasas, تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا ولا عاقبة للمتقين. Which means that last life, we make it, that is the in Jannah, we make it for those who do not seek tyranny or haughtiness on earth, nor do they seek to do harm to others. وَلَا فَسَادَ وَلَا عَقِبَةُ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And the last abode or the last win will be for those who have taqwa. فأصل الصلاح التوحيد والإيمان وأصل الفساد الشرك والكفر. So the origin of صلاح, of righteousness, is توحيد and belief. And the origin of evil وأصل الفساد الشرك والكفر is shirk and disbelief. He says then, المقصود, what is meant or what we conclude is that كل خير فهو داخل في القسط والعدل. All good comes under justice. وكل شر داخل في الظلم. And all evil comes under or derives from injustice. ولهذا كان العدل أمرا واجبا في كل شيء وعلى كل أحد. And that's why justice is required in everything, in doing everything and from everyone. والظلم محرما في كل شيء ولكل أحد. And injustice is prohibited in all things, which means in all actions, and from everyone. فَلَا يَحِلُّ ظُلْمُ أَحَدٍ أَصْلًا. And it is not permissible for anyone to commit injustice. سَوَاءً كَانَ مُسْلِمًا أَوْ كَافِرًا أَوْ كَانَ ظَالِمًا. No, I think what he means here, فَلَا يَحِلُّ ظُلْمُ أَحَدٍ أَصْلًا. You know, in Arabic it could mean both meanings, but I think he means the second of the two meanings, not the one I mentioned. فَلَا يَحِلُّ ظُلْمُ أَحَدٍ أَصْلًا means it's not permissible to be unjust to anyone. Even if that one is a Muslim, whether that one is a Muslim or a kafir, and even if that person is himself an oppressor, a zalim, so we are not allowed to, respond with injustice, whether it is a Muslim or a kafir, even if that person was himself a zalim, an unjust or oppressing person. بل الظلم إنما يباح أو يجب فيه العدل. بل الظلم إنما يباح أو يجب فيه العدل عليه أيضا.
of some typo here. You know, it's just supposedly meant to be just a confirmation of what he said earlier, which means that zulm is not permissible, but one must show justice even in that situation as well. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ الْقَوْمِ عَلَى أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Which means, all you who believe, be upright for Allah, for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ, or be ready to obey, to be in obedience to Allah all the time, or be acting in obedience to Allah all the time. قَوَّامِينَ. قَوَّامِينَ is means someone who does this thing once and again all the time. More than قَائِمِينَ, قَوَّامِينَ. It is an exaggerated form of the verb. قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ, to Allah. شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ, bearing testimony in a fair way, in righteousness. I believe that Ibn Qayyim explained this in Risala al-Tabukiyya, the Magnificent James, so you can refer to the tafsir of this ayah, over there he gives some good explanation of it. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ, which means do not let the hatred of some people, and those people is meant here, the disbelievers, do not let the hatred, your hatred of the disbelievers, عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا, that you do not act with justice, اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى, rather be just, because that is closer to taqwa. And then he tells us that فَمَا تَبَى عَلَيْكُمْ تَعْتَبَى عَلَيْكُمْ مِثِمَا تَبَى عَلَيْكُمْ, which means whoever transgresses against you, transgress against him in the same amount as he transgressed against you. Which means do not, you know, be unfair in retaliating to the people who harm you. So he's saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا, I made it prohibited among you, so do not oppress each other. This is a khitab, a statement, or an address to all the servants, that no one may be unjust to anyone else. That involves other things, not only justice here. I mean, if it was in a, let's say you are both an Islamic, under an Islamic government or ruling, where somebody did this to your wife, you can go to the judge, assuming that there is a fair judge who will, you know, deal with such issues, and tell him that this man was making fun of my wife who was just as a Muslim. Then he will be punished right away on the spot. But in those countries, you cannot do the same. You cannot go and say somebody made fun of my wife, and then you need to bring witnesses, and then maybe ask for $10 million, what they call it, sue them and ask for a big sum of money because you have been hurt, you have been demoralized, or whatever they call it. But, you know, retaliation to them sometimes will bring more harm than good. So you have to evaluate the action based on the situation. Because, you know, sometimes, as Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عَمْ. Do not curse those who invoke others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because then they will curse Allah wrongly without knowledge. Because they are ignorant. They are deviant, and they don't know what they are doing or what they are saying, or why they are saying what they are saying, or why they believe in what they believe, or do not believe in what they are supposed to believe. So if you curse them, they will in return, they will curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will be causing them to curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Rasulullah s.a.w. said, let not anyone curse his own father. And he was asked, how could one of us curse his own father? He said, by cursing somebody else's father, and that person in return will curse your father. So your action sometimes would cause a retaliation from those ignorant people that will cause more harm than good, and that will cause probably harm to the da'wah. You know, maybe if somebody does that, and maybe if you smile, show him a smile that you do not, you know, consider it important, maybe in some cases they will say, they will feel sorry in themselves that they have acted so stupidly
and that you have responded to them nicely. And some of them, they have no feelings, so it doesn't matter, but some of them do. And maybe that would be a better way in da'wah, of da'wah, than to retaliate in a harsh way to them. But I'm saying it is a matter of evaluating the situation, and it doesn't relate directly to what we are discussing. So it more relates to the methodology of the da'wah, and how to conduct da'wah among non-Muslims. Allah Ta'ala. Then there is a discussion, a two-page discussion that I'm skipping about justice and fairness in the legislations of Islam, including punishments, that even the punishment, the qisas in Islam, like when a person steals his hand is cut, when a person commits zina, what's done to him, and so on, all of that comes under the general overall justice and fairness of the religion. So he says, فَجَمِيعُ هَذِهِ الْأَبْوَالِ الْمَقْصُودِ لِلشَّرِيَةِ فِيهَا تَحَرِّ الْعَدْلِ بِحَسَبِ الْإِمْكَانِ. All these matters, the intent of the Sharia in them is to seek justice as much as possible. وَهُوَ مَقْصُودُ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And this is what the ulama also tried, which means when an alim gives a fatwa, he tries to give you the most fair fatwa. Because sometimes it's not clear-cut, black and white. So based on his knowledge of Sharia and background, he will give you the answer that appears to him to be the most adil, fair answer. وَهُوَ مَقْصُودُ الْعُلَمَاءِ. This is the intent or the intention of the ulama. لَكِنَّ أَفْهَمَهُمْ مَنْ قَالَ بِمَا هُوَ أَشْبَغُ بِالْعَدْلِ فِي نَفْسِ الْأَمْرِ. The most knowledgeable among them are those who are closer to justice, he's saying. Even though all of them could be given knowledge and wisdom, as Allah Azza wa Jal, probably he's referring to what Allah Azza wa Jal said about Dawood and Sulaiman, that إِذْ يَحْكُمَانِي فِي الْحَرْثِ إِذْ نَفَشَتْ فِيهِ غَنَمُ الْقَوْمِ وَكُنَّا لِحُكْمِهِمْ شَاهِدِينَ فَفَهَمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. Which means Dawood and Sulaiman, first Dawood, some people came to him and complained that a person came and complained that his neighbor had sheep or some cattle. And he had next door to him, he had a land in which he had a cultivated land in which he had some vegetation and so on. So his neighbor did not control his cattle so that they were able to get into his neighbor's land and eat from the vegetation of his land, destroy his vegetation. So they came and complained to Dawood alayhi salam. And Dawood gave a certain judgment, such as, I don't remember, we can find it easy in the books of Tafsir, gave a judgment that something like to give the cattle all to the one who got whose land was damaged. But then Sulaiman disagreed with that. And he said, the way I see it, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَفَهَمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ. We gave the understanding of it to Sulaiman. وَكُلَّنْ أَتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعَلْمًا. Even though both of them, we gave them hukman, judgment, ability to judge, وَعَلْمًا, and knowledge. But in this case, the son had more knowledge in this regard to this issue than his father. He was more fair than his father, in other words. So what was his judgment? He said, you give the land to the other person who had the cattle. Let him work on fixing it for a period of time. And give the cattle to the one whose land was damaged, to benefit from them, from their milk and so on, for the same period of time. Then after the land goes back to its original state, it is fixed, that is, then they exchange back the cattle and the land. And you know the other case of Sulaiman, where that you know about, and this is an authentic hadith, that two women, each one had a baby, and one of the women, the older of the two, her child was eaten by a wolf. So they came to Dawood and they said, each one of them claiming that the child of the other woman was eaten by the wolf, and that she wants that child because it's her child. So Dawood alayhi salam said, who is the older among you? And he gave the child to the older of the two women, who was not the real mother of the child. So when they were leaving, they met Sulaiman when they were leaving from the court of Dawood. And they said, he said, what did my father tell you? And they told him. He said, come back. So he took them back inside, and he spoke to his father. He said, what I see is that, he said, let me judge in this case. He said, okay, I will allow you to judge in this case. So he said, what I judge is that I will cut this child in half. And I give each one of you, since each one says that this is her child, I give each one of you a half of that child. So the one who was the true mother of the child, the younger of the two women, said, no, give it to her. I give it up. So Sulaiman, alayhi salam, immediately guessed or deduced that must be the true mother, because she feared for her child to be killed. Because the other one did not say anything. So this is another case where you see that judgment sometimes, or the fairness in judgment, is given to some people, but not to other. And in some cases, it's given to some people, in other cases, it's given to other. Even though both of them, Sulaiman and Dawood, as Allah says about them, Allah gave them judgment, hukman, wa'ilma, and knowledge. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who revealed the book and sent the messengers. And against justice is injustice or zulm, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this hadith that we are dealing with. وَلَمَّا كَانَ الْعَدْلُ لَبُدَّ أَنْ يَتَقَدَّمَهُ عَلْمُ إِذْنَا لَا يَعْلَمُ لَا يَدْرِي مَا الْعَدْلُ وَالْإِنسَانُ ظَالِمٌ جَاهِلٌ إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَسَارَ عَالِمًا عَادِلًا. And since adl or justice needs to be preceded by knowledge, for a person to be just or fair in doing something, you know, you cannot expect a blind man on a narrow road and tell him, do not step on the right side or on the left side, because here there's problem, you may mess up something, on the other side you may mess up something else. And you expect him that he will do it without any aid. That's not possible. You have to give him something to see by, some eyesight, some guidance. And similarly in knowledge, without the knowledge, how can a person know that he is going wrong in one direction or the other? So he needs the knowledge in order for him to be fair in his actions. Well, insan zalimun jahil, as a human being, is by nature zalim, as Allah Azza wa Jalla describes him. Inna al-insana kana, innahu kana zaluman jahula. This Allah Azza wa Jalla says in connection with the amana, the trust, that Allah, we reveal the trust, or we present the trust to the heavens and earth. إِنَّ عَرَمَ الْأَمَاتَ عَلَى السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ. To the heavens, earth, and the mountains, to take it and carry it. But they refused to carry it, and they were afraid of carrying it. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. But the human being accepted to carry it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. He indeed is ظَلُوم, a person who commits injustice once and again, and جَهُول, he is an ignorant one. He is also described with continued ignorance. So this is the description of the human being, except for those whom Allah favors, so that they become knowledgeable and fair in their actions. And that is why, you know, the people, when they get to the position of justice, of qada, of judging among the people, there are three types. There is العالم الجائر والجاهل الظالم فهذان من أهل النار. There is a person who knows what is right from what is wrong, but he is جائر, oppressor. He judges contrary to what he knows is right. And the second is جاهل الظالم. He is ignorant and he does wrong because of his ignorance. فهذان من أهل النار. Both of those are from the people of the fire. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم القضاة ثلاثة قاديان في النار وقادم في الجنة. It means the judges are three types. Two of them in the hellfire and one in Jannah. رجل علم الحق وقضى به في الجنة. A man who knows the truth or what is right and judges according to it is in Jannah. ورجل قضى للناس على جهل فهو في النار. An imam who judges for the people with ignorance is in the fire. ورجل علم الحق وقضى بخلافه فهو في النار. An imam who knows the truth and judges contrary to it is in the fire as well. In the beginning of the hadith then, in the beginning of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that Allah says, that Allah mentioned upon the tongue of His Messenger ﷺ what He made an obligation of justice and what He prohibited of injustice upon Himself. What He enjoined on Himself, the justice that He enjoined on Himself and the injustice that He prohibited for Himself. And similarly upon His servants, He prohibited the injustice upon His servants. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His favors upon His servants, even though He is in no need of them and they are in full need of Him. And that's the next part of this hadith. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى جَلْبِ مَنْفَعَةٍ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. And that they cannot even bring benefit to themselves. We cannot bring benefit by ourselves to ourselves. وَلَا دَفْعِ مَضَرَّةٍ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ هُوَ الْمُيَسِّرُ لِذَلِكَ. Nor to prevent the harm from reaching them, unless Allah is the one who facilitated that for them. وَأَمَرَ الْعِبَادَ أَنْ يَسْأَلُوهُ ذَلِكَ. And He commanded the servants in that same hadith to ask Him for that, to ask Him for what is good, and to ask Him to protect them from what is bad. وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَقْدُرُ عَنَ فِيهَا. And He told them that they cannot benefit Him or harm Him. He indicated that they cannot benefit or harm Him, despite the great amount of favor that He gives to them, and the great amount of harm that He stops or prevents from reaching them. So thus we have, and the manfa'ah or the benefit that Allah gives to His servants, and the prevention of harm from reaching them, can be either in their religion or in their dunya, in their worldly affairs. So he says, therefore there are four types. He divided this to four types. Al-hidayatu wal-maghfira. Guidance and forgiveness. And these are jalb al-manfa'ati wa daf' al-madarrati fi al-deen. These are bringing benefit and preventing harm in religion. Hidayah, guidance in religion, means to bring good to the person in his religion. And forgiveness for a person means to protect him from harm. Why? Because if a person committed sins, then he will be punished by them, because of them. So, if he is forgiven, then this harm of punishment is prevented. He is prevented from him, but he is protected from such a fate. So that is why guidance and forgiveness are the benefits in the deen. One of them is a benefit and the other is protection from harm. And as for the dunya, وَالطَّعَامُ وَالْكِسْوَةُ وَهُمَا جَلْبُ الْمَنْفَعَةِ وَدَفْعُ الْمَضَرَّةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. How is that? He says that food and clothing represent, in other words, bringing good or giving good and preventing harm in the worldly affairs. How is that? Feeding and clothing. To feed somebody is to nurture him, to nourish him. Okay, so that is something good that you are giving him. And to clothe somebody, that means you are protecting him. If it is cold weather, you are protecting him from the cold. If it is hot weather, you are protecting him from the heat. And similarly, dwelling, giving him a dwelling like clothing. It is to protect him from the weather, and so on. So this is, a type of protection. And if you wish, or if you will, you can say, الْهِدَايَةُ وَالْمَغْفِرَةُ يَتَعَلَّقَانِ بِالْقَلْبِ الَّذِي هُوَ مَلِكُ الْبَدَنِ وَهُوَ الْأَصْلُ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ الْإِرَادِيَةِ. Guidance and forgiveness, he says, are associated with the heart. And the heart is like the king for the body. And is the basis or the origin for willful actions, for the actions that we do them willfully. وَالطَّعَامُ وَالْكِسْوَةُ يَتَعَلَّقَانِ بِالْبَدَنِ. Whereas food and clothing relate to the body. الطعام لجلب المنفعة واللباس لدفع المضرة. Food is for bringing benefit, and clothing is for preventing the harm. وفتح الأمر بالهداية فإنها وإن كانت الهداية النافعة. Now he's talking about somewhere in the middle of the hadith. He says, يا عبادي كلكم ضال إلا من هديته فاستهدوني أهدكم. After he said the first two statements that we mentioned, which are يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي, that was the first part, and we said that this part covers the belief in Allah's attributes as well as the belief in His actions in Al-Qadr. And then وجعلته بينكم محرماً فلا تظلموا. And I prohibited injustice among you, so do not oppress each other or incur injustice on each other. We said that this covers all of the deen, because all of the deen, all of the actions, all of the requirements of the religion are requirements that are meant to prevent injustice and to make us do what is just, fairness and justice. So that covers all the requirements of the deen. And وَجَعَلْتُ بَيْنَكُ مُحَمَّدْ فَرَطَ وَبَعَلَمُ. Then after that, Allah Azza wa Jal says, as is reported by His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, يَا عِبَادِي كُلُّكُمْ ضَالٌ إِلَّا مَنْ هَدَيْتُ فَاسْتَهْدُونِي أَهْدِكُمْ. O my servant, all of you is misguided except those that I guide them. So ask me for guidance, I will guide you. And then he says, يا عبادي كلكم جائع إلا ما أطعمته فاستطعموني أطعمكم. All my servants, all of you is misguided, is hungry, except those that I feed. So ask me for food, I will feed you. And then he says, كلكم عار إلا من كسوته فاستكسوني أكسكم. All of you are naked, are powerless, in other words, they do not have protection, except those that I clothe them. So ask me for clothing, and I will clothe you. So he is talking about this part of the hadith now. And he's saying that فَتْحُ الْأَمْرِ بِالْهِدَايَةِ. I think the tashkil that the person who worked on this book put is wrong. فَتَحَ الْأَمْرَ بِالْهِدَايَةِ. That he started by mentioning al-hidayah, of the things that Allah favored His servants with, or He is telling them that these are favors from Him, and therefore we should ask for these favors from Him. So he started by hidayah or guidance. فَإِنَّهَا وَإِنْ كَانَتِ الْهِدَايَةُ النَّفِيَةُ مُتَعَلِّقَةُ بِالدِّينِ فَكُلُّ أَعْمَالِ النَّاسِ تَابِعَةٌ لِهُدَى اللَّهِ إِيَّاهُمْ. Which means, even though guidance, the useful guidance is that which has to do with deen, the guidance to the straight path, as we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, even though this is the useful guidance, but hidayah is a general term that applies to all the actions of the people. And they need the guidance of Allah for them to know how to do their, or to conduct their affairs. كما قال سبحانه والذي قدر فهدى. And He is the one who decreed or created things and then guided the people to utilize the things that He decreed and created for them. ربنا الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. Our Lord is the one who gave everything its creation, its form, its fashioning, and then He guided them. That is, He enabled them to utilize that in the proper way. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. And we guided him to the two directions. And that is why it is said by the scholars, by the ulama that is, or by the salaf, that guidance is of four types. There are four types of guidance. الهداية إلى مصالح الدنيا فهذا مشترك بين الحيوان الناطق وبين المؤمن وال بين الحيوان الناطق والأعجم وبين المؤمن والكافر. His guidance in regard to the affairs of this life, and this is common between the animal and the human being and the kafir. All of them have been given the, you can call it the instinct or the ability to be guided, to find and utilize the resources of this world for their benefit. So this guidance is common to all. والثاني المعنى الهدى الهدى بمعنى دعاء الخلق إلى ما ينفعهم وأمرهم بذلك وهو نصب الأدلة وأرسال الرسل وإنزال الكتب. Also guidance could mean that you guide somebody by showing him what is right from what is wrong. And the third type is جعل الهدى في القلوب, to put the guidance into the hearts. The guidance in the hearts. And that is only in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That as Allah Azza wa Jalla says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You cannot guide whomever you will. Rather, Allah guides whomever He wills. You cannot guide whomever you like. Rather, Allah guides whomever He wills. So this guidance, this type of guidance is only in the hand of Allah. And the last form of guidance is the guidance in the hereafter by Allah Azza wa Jal guiding them to the straight path of Jannah. As for Allah's saying, Ya ibadi kullukum ja'i'un illa man at'amtuni fastat'imuni at'amkum. O my servants, all of you are hungry except those who whom I feed, so ask me for food, I will feed you. From this we derive two important matters. The first one is that وجوب التوكل على الله في الرزق. It is an obligation, it is obligatory to rely on Allah in regard to rizq, in regard to seeking sustenance. And that no one other than Allah can feed and clothe in an absolute way. Of course, I mean some of the servants will have a partial ability to do this by what Allah Azza wa Jal, by whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has granted them of possessions or power on this earth. So by whatever means He gave them. وَهَذَا كَمَا أَنَّ مَنْ أَخَذَ يَدْخُلُ فِي التَّوَكُّلِ تَارِكًا لِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ فَهُوَ أَيْضًا جَاهِلٌ وَظَالِمٌ. So the one who does not rely on Allah Azza wa Jal is ignorant, he's saying, and is doing injustice by that, who does not rely on Allah and seek that from Allah. Similarly, the one who does not utilize the means that Allah created for us is also jahil, ignorant, and is doing injustice by that. Is doing injustice by that. عَاصٍ لِلَّهِ بِتَرْكِ مَا أَمَرَ. He is by that disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal because he left off something that Allah commanded him to do. Because doing what has we have been commanded to do is a form of ibadah. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Worship Him and rely on Him. And He said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. It is You that we worship, and it is You from whom we seek the help. فَلَيْسَ مَنْ فَعْلَ شَيْئًا أُمِرَ بِهِ وَتَرَكَ مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ مِنَ التَّوَكُّلِ بِأَعْظَمَ ذَنْبًا مِمَّنْ فَعْلَ تَوَكُّلًا مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ وَتَرَكَ فِعْلَ مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ مِنَ السَّبَبِ إِذْ كِلَاهُمَا مُخِلٌّ بِبَعْضِ مَا وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ. Which means both of them, the one who does not rely on Allah Azza wa Jal in his actions, and the one who relies in such a way that he does not utilize the means that Allah gave him to do the actions, both of them are committing sins by that. The hadith mentioned here, which is Aif, I thought that it was authenticated by Albani, I'm not sure. Well, it's talking about a man who, when he could not do something, he said, Hasbi Allah wa ni'am al-wakil. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, judged between two men. And the one who was judged against, he said, Hasbi Allah wa ni'am al-wakil, which means Allah is sufficient for me and He is the best of supporters. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَلُومُ عَلَى الْعَجْزِ وَلَكِنْ عَلَيْكَ بِالْكَيِّسِ.
بالكياس I think بالكياس وليس بالكيس. فإن غلبك امرؤ فقل حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل,
which means do what is right in other words. And Allah Azza wa Jal only blames a person for being incapable, which means incapable of doing, of using what Allah has given him of means. Like a person sits at home and he says, Allah will give me rizq. Allah will give me rizq. I believe in Allah and I believe that He is a razzaq, so I will wait for rizq to come to me. And this is ajiz. This is incapable or weak way of dealing with the affairs of this life. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو أنكم توكلون على الله حق التوكل الله رزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو بطانا وتروح خماصا, which means if you relied on Allah the right way, He would give you rizq like He does to the birds. They go in the morning with khimasa, which means with thin stomachs. وتغدو وتروح خماصا, and they come back in the evening with full stomachs. And they come back with full stomachs. So that hadith, you know, probably summarizes the meaning that he's talking about. It's saying you, the true reliance is not that, you know, the birds do not sit in their nests all day long and wait for the rizq to come to them. So if you rely to Allah in the right way, you will do like them. You will go in the morning, seek your sustenance, and then you will get it so that in the evening you will come full. You will get the sustenance that Allah revived. Wrote or prescribed for you. So Allah will not leave anything, even the birds. Will not forget anyone, even the birds. In Sahih Muslim, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ الْقَوِيِّ أو الْمُؤْمِنُ الْقَوِيِّ خَيْرٌ وَأَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ الضَّعِيفِ وَفِي كُلِّمْ خَيْرٌ. A strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than a weak believer, even though there is good in both of them. And then he says, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز, which means seek that or try to do that which benefits you, and seek help from Allah and do not give up, ولا تعجز, which means احرص على ما ينفعك, work, put an effort, واستعن بالله, and seek the help from Allah. So don't, you know, do one but not the other. Don't make isti'ana without acting, and do not act without relying on Allah. They have to go both together hand in hand. وَلَا تَعْجِزْ, do not give up. فَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٍ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا لَكَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. If something happens to you, لَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ لَكَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Do not say, had I done such and such, it would have been differently. وَلَكِنْ قُلْ قدر الله وما شاء فعل. Rather say it's Allah. Allah has decreed this, and whatever He willed happens. فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان, because saying had I or if I opened the door for Shaitan, so that means that the person becomes doubtful about the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, rebellious against His decree, and so on. So one should submit. This is the will of Allah. After he has put the effort to do things in the best way and relied properly to Allah Azza wa Jal, after that he should not worry about what happened and just say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. I will wrap up here because Al-Bukhari recorded in his hadith, in his sahih, that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said that the people of Yemen used to make Hajj without bringing their food, their zad, with them. So, and they used to say, نحن المتوكلون, we are the ones who rely on Allah, so we do not need to bring food with us. فَإِذَا قَدِمُوا سَأَلُوا النَّاسِ. And then when they come to Mecca, that is to Hajj, they start begging from the people for food. So, Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. He commanded, bring with you your zad, your food, because, and the best of food indeed is taqwa. So he told them that this is not acceptable, that they rely on Allah without going through the means that are required
to demonstrate that they have truly relied on Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this probably covers some of the meaning of reliance, and this applies to all three parts of this hadith that we mentioned, which are Ya ibadi, kullukum dallun illa man hadaytu, fastahduni ahdikum. O my servants, all of you are misguided except those whom I guide. So ask me for guidance, I guide you. So it means that we need to ask Allah for guidance, as we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, اهدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. But we should also put an effort to be guided. Not ask Allah for guidance while we are committing the sins and doing as much of that as possible. No, we try our best to stay away from sinning, and at the same time we rely on Allah and ask Him to help us. Similarly for food. يَا عِبَادِي كُلُّكُمْ جَائِعٌ إِلَّا مَا أَطْعَمْتُ فَاسْتَطْعِمُونِي أُطْعِمْكُمْ. O my servants, all of you is hungry except those whom I feed. So ask me to feed you and I will feed you. So we ask Him to feed us while we are working to get the food. And similarly for any matter of our life, the last one that's mentioned of the three in this hadith, يَا عِبَادِي كُلُّكُمْ عَارٍ إِلَّا مَنْ كَسَوْتُ فَاسْتَكْسُونِي أَكْسُكُمْ. O my servants, all of you are naked except those whom I clothe. So ask me for clothing, I will clothe you. So we are naked, we cannot have any of the things that are of benefit of us, whether in our deen or in our dunya. We cannot have any of them or acquire any of them or attain any of them just by working for them. We are void of them without Allah's will for them, for us to get them. And that's why he says, all of you are naked except those that I clothe. So we need his favor, this favor from him, to be clothed. And then he asks us to rely on him in that as well. فَاسْتَكْسُونِي أَكْسُكُمْ. So I'll stop here, and that leaves the end of the second half of the hadith, which is about that nobody can reach to benefit or harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that why actually we do the deeds, or why are we required to do the deeds in this life? Is it to benefit Allah, or is it to benefit ourselves? So that's basically what the rest of the hadith is about. So I stop here for salah. Can we answer this question? It's about rizq, it says. Please explain whether or not it's allowed to have money or wealth saved up for the future, for example, children's weddings, or education, or just for emergency bad days. Is this not lacking in the reliance upon Ar-Razzaq? As is reported from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, كُلُّ مَالٍ أُخْرِجَتْ زَكَاتُهُ فَلَيْسَ بِكَنْزِ. Any money that you pay is zakah, is not considered kanz. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Those who treasure or store up gold and silver and do not spend them for the cause of Allah, give them the tidings of a severe punishment. So Ibn Abbas said, all kind of money or wealth that you pay its zakah is not a kanz, it's not a stored money. So that is what purifies it from being like that. So if you have money that you save it for a certain future benefit, it is there's nothing wrong with that as long as you pay its zakat on a regular basis, or invest it in some permissible forms of investment. And if you want to give as much as you want of it for the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is good, that is the best even, because that is the only kind of wealth that will be stored for us for the next life. Everything else will be left behind when we die. So there is no contradiction between the two. You can save and you can spend, and that none of them is in contradiction with our belief that Allah is Ar-Razzaq subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadha subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Okay, so after this brief break, inshallah, we try in the remaining few minutes to
conclude the discussion of this book, and then leave the rest of the time that we have. We have only 1 hour left altogether. Part of it will be to finish covering this book, and the rest will be, inshallah, for questions and answers. We talked about the three things that Rasulullah SAW said, that Allah Azza wa Jal said after the first introduction to the hadith, which is about dhulm or oppression. And those four things are, يَا عِبَادِي كُلُّكُمْ ضَالٌ إِلَّا مَنْ هَدَيْتُهُ فَاسْتَهْدُونِي أَهْدِكُمْ. O my servants, all of you are misguided except those that I guide. So seek guidance from me, I will guide you. O my servants, after that, all of you are hungry except those that I feed. So ask me to feed you and I will feed you. O my servants, all of you are naked except those that I clothe. So ask me to clothe you and I will clothe you. And يا عبادي إنكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفروني أغفر لكم. O my servants, you commit sins day, night and day, and I forgive all sins, so ask me for forgiveness and I will forgive you. So as we saw that these four issues cover the importance of reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time to use or utilize the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in order to reach the permissible ends that Allah azza wa jal permitted or enjoined on us to work for. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah divided the affairs of the dunya and the deen to four types, and those four types he says are covered in this hadith. Those four types, let's write here on the board, they can be put into a short table. Okay, they can be put into a short table like this, 2x2 table, where we have and headings for the table are benefit, harm, dunya, and hereafter. So these are the headings of the table. On top we have two headings, benefits and harm, or benefit and harm. And on the side we have dunya and hereafter. And so we have four things. We have the benefits and the harms in the dunya and the hereafter are summarized or represented in four things, as Ibn Taymiyyah says. For dunya it is food and clothing. And for the hereafter, by harm we mean protection of harm. So bring benefit or avert harm. Food, clothing, and then for the hereafter, it is guidance and forgiveness. It's a nice table, actually. Now that I wrote it on the board, now as you probably have noticed, I put lots of tables in my books because I like tables. And they sometimes help to clarify the ideas. But anyways, this is what Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, that the affairs that concern a human being have to do with either his dunya or his hereafter. And they divide into two types. The first type, that the thing that the person seeks, is to bring harm, bring benefit, or to prevent harm. So, So the food represents bringing worldly benefit. And clothing or shelter represents protection from harm. And in the year after, seeking guidance or being guided is the good that one needs for the benefits of the year after. And seeking forgiveness is what he needs to be prevented from or to be protected from the punishment that could be brought to him because of his sins. Could reach him because of his sins. So these four things, food, clothing, guidance and forgiveness, are mentioned in this hadith, in which he says, Ya ibadi, kullukum ja'i'un illa man at'amtu. All of you are hungry except those whom I feed. First he mentions the guidance. Kullukum dalun illa man hadaytu. All of you are misguided except those that I guide. All of you are hungry except those I feed. All of you are naked except those that I clothe. And then he mentions forgiveness. O my servants, you commit sins night and day, and I forgive all sins. Ask me for forgiveness, and I will forgive you. There's some discussion of forgiveness here that we do not have time. It's a very good discussion, actually, about forgiveness and tawbah. But unfortunately, the time is now limited. You know, maybe there will be some other chance, a talk that is given on just this chapter of the book of Ibn Taymiyyah. And he discusses this in some other books of his as well. So then he, after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, innakum lan tablughu darri fatadurruni walan tablughu nafai fatanfa'uni. Which means, O my servants, you will not be able to reach to a level to harm me, so as to harm me and then harm me. Or you will not reach to the level of benefiting me so that you would benefit me. So Allah Azza wa Jal is above that His creation would be able to, reach Him with any benefit or harm. So this shows the sufficiency of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the self-sufficiency, and that He is in no need of any one of His servants. And this is further emphasized in the next part of the hadith. And this is what is meant by Allah saying, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ السَّمَدُ. Allah as-samad. As-samad means the one who everyone needs Him, and He is in no need of anyone. So He is self-sufficient. In Himself He is sufficient. He does not need anything from anyone. But at the same time, تَصْمُدُ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَائِقِ, which means all the creation turns to Him for help and for support, for sustenance. Everyone needs Him. He doesn't need anyone, and everyone needs Him. So He is self-sufficient, and therefore in this hadith He says, you cannot reach to a level of harming me or of benefiting me. There is no way you can harm or benefit me. In other words, anything that we do, or any dua that we make, any prayer that we make, any good deed that we perform, it is not for the benefit of Allah Azza wa Jal, because we cannot benefit Him. And any sin that we commit is not for the harm of Allah. It will not harm Him in the least bit. This is, as I said, emphasized more in the rest of the hadith, where he says, Ya ibadi, لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم كانوا على أفجر قلب رجل واحد منكم ما نقص ذلك من ملكي شيئا يا عبادي لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم أسكت الفاس بفورت كانوا على أتقى قلب رجل واحد منكم ما زال ذلك في ملكي شيئا. So just switch them. This comes next. The other one comes. This comes first, the other one comes next. Which means, all my servants, if the first and last of you, and your ins and your jinn, your human beings and jinn, were as pious as the most pious man, that will not add anything to my dominion, to my possessions. And on the other hand, if all of you were as bad, as evil, as the worst and most evil person ever that will not reduce my possessions in the least bit. So Allah's possessions and Allah's dominion is not affected by our deeds, whether they are good or bad. That's the meaning of this. Our deeds, regardless of what they are, do not affect Allah in the least bit. And now the next segment or the next statement is to tell us that also whatever Allah gives us does not affect His dominion and His possessions. Whatever we do does not affect Him, and whatever He gives does not reduce of His possessions either. So He says, Ya Ibadi, لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا في صعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل إنسان منهم مسألة ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل في البحر. Which means, all my servants, if all of you human beings and jinn and from the first to the last all stood in one big field and each one of them asks me and I give him what he asked for, then that will not reduce my possessions except as much as when you put a needle in a sea and take it out, how much it would reduce the contents of that sea. Which means that basically nothing. It will not reduce it at all. And you know, imagine that every one of us, imagine what things you like, you wish for. How many palaces? How many cars? What brand of car? How much cash? How many wives? How many children? Etc. Think of whatever you want to wish for and think as big as you want. I want, for example, lands as large as this earth, or as large as 10 times this earth, or as large as the whole universe that we know of. If everyone wishes things like this, and Allah gives, that will not affect His possessions in the least bit. The dominion of Allah is not reduced by giving contrary to the possessions of people. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal is not afraid of giving like the people are. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in a different hadith, he said, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَلْآ سَخَّاءَ لَا تُغِيضُهَا نَفَقَةَ. Which means, the hand of Allah is full and generous, and it is not reduced, it's His possession that is not reduced by nafaqah, by spending, by giving. And then finally, he concludes by saying, Ya ibadi, innama hiya amalukum ahsiha lakum, thumma uwaffikum iyaha. O my servants, it's just your deeds that I record for you. So it's not for my benefit, it's not for my harm, it is not going to affect me in any ways. It is just that I am recording your deeds for you, and then I will give you back the outcome of it, whether good or bad. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. So whoever finds a good outcome, let him praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Why? Because Allah is the one who favored him with that and multiplied it for him, and so on. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. And whoever finds anything else, let him not blame but himself. فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. And this brings us back to the very beginning of the hadith. يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي. That Allah is not unjust. He is fair in dealing with us, and He gives us what we deserve, no less than it, but more actually. So He multiplies the good for us, and He does not punish us for anything that we did not commit. So as Ibn Taymiyyah says, ثُمَّ خَتَمَهُ بِتَحْقِيقِ مَا بَيَّنَهُ فِيهِ مِنْ عَدْلِهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ. Then he concluded this hadith by indicating what he mentioned in it of his justice and generosity. فَبَيَّنَ أَنَّهُ مُحْسِنٌ إِلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ فِي الْجَزَاءِ عَلَىٰ أَعْمَالِهِمِ الصَّالِحَةِ إحسانا يستحق به الحمد. So he indicated that he is favoring his servants and rewarding them for their deeds, good deeds, by such a favor that he deserves praise because of it. لأنه هو المنعم بالأمر بها. Because first of all, he is the one who favored them, who favored us when he commanded us to do the good deeds. والإرشاد إليها, and guided them or us to them. والإعانة عليها, and in helping them to do them. See how many things Allah will helps us with until the deed is complete. والإعانة عليها ثم إحصائها, and then recording them, keeping record of them, of the good deeds. ثم توفية جزائها, and then giving the reward for it, and then the multiplication of the rewards for it. As we spoke earlier yesterday, that none of us deserves what he gets as an equal return for what he did. But it is because of the favor of Allah who multiplies the deeds so many times. فَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ فَضْلٌ مِّنْهُ وَإِحْسَانٌ. So all of that is a favor and generosity from him. إِذْ كُلُّ نِعْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ فَضْلٌ وَكُلُّ نِقْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ عَدْلٌ. Because every favor from him is an act of generosity from him, and every punishment from him is a fair act. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَدْ كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْهِ نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كَمَا تَقَدَّمَ بَيَانُهُ. And even though he has prescribed mercy upon himself and made it a right on him to give support to the believers, فَلَيْسَ, as we explained earlier, of course, we dealt with this in detail, فَلَيْسَ وُجُوبُ ذَلِكَ كَوُجُوبِ حُقُوقِ النَّاسِ بَعْضِهِمْ إِلَى بَعْضِ الَّذِي يَكُونُ عَدْلًا لَا فَضْلًا لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ لِكَوْنِ بَعْضِ النَّاسِ أَحْسَنَ إِلَى الْبَعْضِ فَاسْتَحَقَّ الْمُعَاوَضَةِ. Which means that those things that he prescribed on himself is not the obligation that such obligation that he made on himself is not similar, the same as the obligation of the rights of the people towards each other, where there should be justice in that. And so justice is what takes place in dealing with such issues, and not generosity. So some people would do better than others, and or do well towards other people, and they deserve to be paid back for that. And the ihsan, or doing good to them, is according to the ability of the one who is بِقُدْرَةِ وَكَانَ إِحْسَانُ إِلَيْهِ بِقُدْرَةِ الْمُحْسِنِ دُونَ الْمُحْسَنِ إِلَيْهِ, is in accordance with the power or ability of the one who is giving, favoring, giving the favors. He also says that this hadith indicates that the servants, I think we are finished here with the tape, and I promise to stop with the tape. Well, only there's some more detail, that's all that I can say. So about this, and we briefly have covered the hadith. We spent more time, of course, on the first part, which I think is worth it, because it is the part that dealt with the aqidah. حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي, I prohibited injustice for myself. So we spent almost half of the time on this part, and the rest of the time on the other parts of the hadith. So we stop here, inshallah, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit us from the knowledge of this hadith and enable us to complete our knowledge by learning more of about it, or about its meanings in some other occasions. هذا وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.